Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
So, from talking about retirement, we talk about banking. And this time around, when it comes to you and I as South African consumers, what kind of bank accounts do many of us have? But beyond that, what are we concerned about when it comes to the kind of quality performance that we get from our banks? You might recall that just last week, the likes of Capitec experienced part of a global outage that essentially disrupted a number of systems, not only in the air and aviation space, but also when it comes to banking. And today, we're going to take a look at understanding that this is a recent event, but we're going to review the 2023 year of complaints, essentially, from the Bank Office of the Banking Ombud. So, to help us unpack this is the lead ombud for the banking division at the National Financial Ombud Scheme, Nirosha Masetti. Such a pleasure to have you with us, Nirosha, and welcome.
Thank you very much, Gugu, and thank you for having me.
Excited to speak to you. I know we've been talking a lot about retirement, but in order for us to save for our retirement, we need to earn an income, and that income needs to be deposited into a bank account. So your office actually plays a very critical role in assessing, accepting, and directing the flow of capital for many South Africans. And I guess it's just important for us to underscore the fact that this report does come from a time before the establishment of the National Financial Ombud Scheme, of which the banking division is part of. Would that be correct?
That's 100% correct, Gugu.
Fantastic. I'm glad we highlight this because it also just emphasizes the fact that for many South Africans, the National Financial Ombud Scheme does provide a one-stop shop to manage many of our financial concerns. But let's take a look at the year that was 2023. I do see that there was an increase in the number of formal cases reported.
Yes, it was a very busy year on our side, Gugu. Interesting enough, it was the year that we recorded the highest number of formal complaints in our office. So it was a very busy year. I think if you had to go through our annual report, it gives you much insight as to the work done in the office, the areas where we saw the increase in complaints, the conversion to premature to formal cases. It gives you insight into the turnaround times of the banks, a whole lot of insightful information in this year's report.
And maybe let's talk through that information, right? Because typically we want to know what is it that we as South African consumers and subscribers tend to complain about?
I think, you know, if you look at our report, it's quite vast across the scale. But you will note that the highest category of complaints for the period under review was not much different from the previous years, in the sense that fraud remained the highest category of complaints.
Ooh. And I'm so assuming go ahead.
Sorry, Gugu. So this is largely in the digital banking space, where you had particularly your internet banking, phishing, vishing was on the increase, was currently on the increase, push payment fraud. So those category of complaints remained our highest category of complaints for the period under review.
And this is very familiar because I, myself and many other friends and colleagues and even family members have experienced this kind of fraud. Money's just being withdrawn from your account and you can't trace the transaction. And typically, the frustration that we get as South Africans is that the bank says, oops, sorry, we can't do anything about it. So how have you, I guess, managed or found a resolution to some of these cases reported?
Most of the complaints came before us. You'll see, interesting enough, in our report itself, you'll see that we found in favor of complainants 20% of the complaints and in favor of the bank 73%. Whilst the 20% may appear low, it's definitely in line with international experience. But I think what we're looking for when fraud comes before our offices, we generally investigate where the point of compromise was. And if there is evidence and information showing, listen, there seems to have been some compromise in terms of the customer's personal information, then those type of complaints will result in a no prospect assessment. However, I think
no
we drill
prospect
down
meaning
in,
that it won't be
no,
in favor.
No prospect meaning it goes against the customer.
Okay,
because the evidence shows us that there's no wrongdoing or negligence that can be attributed to the bank that would warrant a finding against the bank.
Okay.
However, in instances where we look at it and we investigate and then we see, listen, there are instances where the bank failed to stop the account in time. So that's the area that it mainly comes under our consideration when we get money back for consumers. We'll have a look at, listen, there was a compromise in terms of the information. However, the customer did report it to the bank within a certain time. Did the bank stop the account within that reasonable time? Was there an opportunity for the bank to mitigate or prevent the losses? And a large part of the 25 million odd that we recovered for consumers under the period under review was amounts that we recovered in the digital banking space, where we found that accounts could have been stopped or there was money still left in the account after the fraud that could have been recovered for the consumer.
I think this is so important because it also helps us understand how not to be negligible.
Absolutely, in terms of reporting.
Yes.
The moment you, from a consumer perspective, it is absolutely important. The moment you feel uncomfortable about a call or an email, you think something seems to be amiss here, best rather reach out to your bank and report the experience, so then you then place the onus on the bank to pick up that conversation as to what happened there.
Got you. So report as soon as possible. I'm also keen to understand, there's an interesting category here about the age group or the subcategories of consumers that are raising complaints. And it's really interesting dynamics in terms of the population group.
Yeah, I think that will fall under our
yes,
vulnerable
sorry.
Consumers. Yes, so we do have a vulnerable consumer policy where there's a number of factors. I think one of the factors you'll see our highest number under the vulnerable consumers would be the age factor. So 65 plus, where there's different categories that we recorded there. I think it's important to note, Google, that age by itself does not qualify as a vulnerable consumer. Mm. There are many attributes that goes into that category. We could have a 70-year-old that by virtue of his age, he may be considered vulnerable, but when you look at it, he is quite active on the digital platform. He fully understands the platform. He's still in business. He's still working. So he may not necessarily qualify as a vulnerable consumer by virtue of his age. On the other hand, we may have a 70-year-old who took his retirement money. He doesn't seem to be very sophisticated on the digital platform. It's factors that we may table with the bank in terms of making a finding, despite the merits not looking good in terms of the customer, but bringing in a vulnerable consumer attribute or issue that we table with the bank in terms of making some sort of possible refund of the loss of the consumer.
Mm. Got you. This is so important because I have parents above the age of 60 and I fit as fiddles, but they enjoy being called retirees at times who are employed. So this is also a different perspective for us to understand that there's a lot that's to be taken into consideration around vulnerable consumers and what it is that does make them vulnerable. I guess the question that a lot of our listeners will also be asking here, Nirosha, is what the results reveal about the banks and which bank we complain about the most, which one quickly sees and settles concerns that are raised by clients and customers, and perhaps, you know, which other institutions need to do a little bit better in managing customers' reports.
Oh, Google, that's a very difficult question. I think it's important to note, you will note that the report itself notes that Capitec Bank had the highest number of active cases in the office for the period under review. But it's important to note that while complaint statistics provide valuable insight, it must be understood within the broader context. So various factors such as the size of a bank, customer base, client profile, and product mix affect the number of complaints brought against a bank. So whilst our report may note that, listen, Capitec Bank had the highest number of complaints in 2023, you need to consider that Capitec Bank, for instance, is South Africa's biggest bank by consumer numbers. Mm-hmm. I think at the end of August last year, they recorded over 21 million consumers.
Sure.
So it won't be a big surprise that conversion of that will see the highest number of complaints within our office. But to drill down further in understanding that stat, if you had to look at the increase in the number of formals year on year, we noticed that in the comparison of 2023 with the previous year, we saw FNB have an increase of 15.1% increase year on year. Then came in Capitec Bank with 12.4% increase year on year. And Nedbank, despite having the second highest number of complaints, only had a 3.6% increase year on year.
Perhaps let's pick up on Capitec. You mentioned that they have about 21 million customers, so it shouldn't be a surprise that a bank of that scale would potentially have a lot more complaints.
100%. So that is what I meant, that we would need to have, we would need to look at the statistics, the complaint statistics, with much context, Google. So whilst they had the recorded number of highest complaints, I think interesting things to note is that 82% of those complaints were found in favor of Capitec Bank.
Mm-hmm. Got you. I do see that in the report. And of course, I do see that a few others also settled their complaints quite quickly. Is there a standard time or expected time for banks to actually settle any concerns or complaints that are brought to them?
There's no standard time. Remember that as an ADR body, the best practice is to resolve complaints as soon as possible because we're an alternative to the court. In our office, we generally try to resolve complaints. And I think the report itself gives you our statistics on complaints over 80% resolved within the 4-month period and over 90% resolved within the 6-month period. So I think there are, the quickest turnaround times recorded were 74% for FNB, if my memory serves me right, in terms of last year's report.
Yes, I see that. And I guess that also speaks to the level of engagement between the customer and the bank. And I guess there's a lot of lessons for us to also learn here, Nirosha. As you've mentioned, if you suspect that there's any concerns that you have with your account or any fraud or any malicious activity you think might be happening that is directed from the bank, you do need to interact with the bank directly and very quickly. Help us understand how important it is to follow through with all those channels before approaching the ombud.
Very important. And I think Google, the first step I would start with is, you know, consumer education and consumer awareness, which our office and the banks do a lot of. I do think there's room for improvement across the industry for more aggressive consumer awareness, because it starts there. You know, you need to know the pros and cons of the product. You need to know the risks involved in engaging on online platforms. So prevention is always better than cure. And in terms of engagement with our office, we do have a referral process, basically, or premature process now called under the NFO. Basically, a service that we offer banking consumers to refer their matters to the bank, to give the bank and their customers an opportunity to resolve the matters before the matter can be opened as a formal complaint in our office. So interesting enough, over there, African Bank has a 79% conversion rate, Bidvest has a 67% conversion rate, Capitec and Nedbank sitting at 64 in terms of our report, FNB sitting at 37, which is quite impressive. And I think it's a good indicator of how well banks handle complaints if you look at their respective conversion rate from premature cases to formal complaints.
Sure. And I guess next time we do approach the office of the, well, not the office of the banking ombud, but rather the National Financial Ombud Scheme.
And don't worry, Google, even I am getting used to the new lingo.
Right. It's quite a thing. And when I speak to your colleagues in the other divisions for long-term insurance, short-term insurance, sometimes I also get tongue-tied when it comes to
me,
those schemes.
I've been saying OBS for 18 years.
Oh, wow.
So since March, I have had to get used to the new lingo, but we're getting there.
We definitely are. We're all learning alongside with you. And what we appreciate actually is that you have created this one-stop shop. So there is really a collaborative approach. So whether I'm struggling with my bank or financial services advisor, and maybe I took out insurance with the bank, I can literally come to this one-stop shop in the National Financial Ombud Scheme, and I'll be directed to the right path. But that also means that depending on the complexity of one's matter, we also need to be properly prepared to come with what your office would require and the different divisions. So how do we make sure that we get our ducks in a row to make sure that your office can help us?
Absolutely, Google. I think, you know, the amalgamation of the four offices, being the banking ombud or the previous banking ombud, the credit ombud, the long-term insurance and short-term insurance, has been a game changer for financial consumers in South Africa, because it's most certainly one single entry point to assist them with any disputes that they may have against any financial service providers in South Africa. I think the important thing in terms of getting your ducks in a row, it's very important to keep record of your engagements with your respective financial service providers. It's important when you lodge a complaint with the office that you provide more facts than less, a lot of detail, a lot of proof, and attaching documentation to support that version. So all of those actually assist in being able to efficiently deal with the complaint, as opposed to reach out to a consumer again to gauge or gather more information. Mm-hmm. So I think that's important. And the consumers can always go to our website, which is quite user-friendly. in order to get more detail as to how to lodge a complaint, our contact information, our physical address, because we do see walk-ins. So I think all of that factors will definitely help the consumer in terms of how to go about approaching our offices to lodge a complaint in any in respect of the four divisions.
Got you. Such a pleasure speaking to you as always, Narosha. We really appreciate how you've always taken out the time to educate us on these pertinent matters.
Pleasure. Pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. That is Narosha Masetti, who is the lead ombud for the banking division at the National Financial Ombud Scheme. As you've heard, next time you have a complaint, yes, before we used to refer to it as the OBS, the Office of the Banking or Banking Ombudsman, before we had a separate one for short-term insurance and, of course, financial services. And ultimately, they've all come under this one umbrella. Again, National Financial Ombud Scheme. And this is where you can lay any concerns or follow-up claims that you'd like to lay against key players within the financial services space.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.